Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Dave, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
I'm well. You?
I am well. You know, and I was just thinking that we're talking about Good News Updates, and I'm aware of what you're going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really excited to hear.
Yeah. So the topic is where we are with Teresa Kapenda, and more specifically, where is Teresa Kapenda?
Where is Teresa Kapenda?
Yeah, so as I'm sure just about everyone on the call knows that it's been our intention for a long time. We've been working on this probably for about a year and a half to get Teresa here into the United States, and so everyone here will get to meet her, and she could travel around, and we have a number of events set up for her and everything, and we had a little disaster on the way as she was attempting to come here.
Yeah.
So, and we sent out an email about this. Probably people have gotten it in order to start informing people about what's going on. And there's also, the Africa blog, which has been going on ever since the trip began. And there are regular updates being posted to the blog. I think there's probably maybe 3 short updates up there now just with the latest on what's happening.
Yes. Yeah, it's very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you want to, for people who aren't aware, do you want to just give a quick summary of what happened? Or?
Yeah, I do. So we were all set. Teresa was on the airplane with Jen. They made it all the way to Johannesburg, South Africa. It's like a 3-hour flight. And, you know, it was a welcoming or a goodbye party at the airport and all this kind of stuff like you might expect. And then somehow on that flight to Johannesburg, Teresa lost her passport and visa.
Yes.
And we don't know what happened with that. Anything could have happened, including getting pickpocketed. We found out since that a Zambian passport in Zambia is worth something like $2,500.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's very likely. I mean, it could have fallen out of her bag. Somebody could have swiped it. It's really hard to know, but, you know, if it fell out of her bag, it probably didn't even hit the ground before somebody already had it, you know.
Wow.
You know, and you can imagine, you know, it's just a country of extreme poverty, and here's an extremely valuable thing, and I'm sure it just disappeared into the system. And
wow.
So there was a very difficult, as you can imagine, number of hours that happened in Johannesburg while Jen and Teresa were trying to find the passport and figure out what to do next, and it ended up being that Jen was essentially forced to get on the airplane coming back to America.
Oh,
Teresa was left there, and, you know, she spent some more time in Johannesburg trying to sort out what happened and ended up having to go back to Indola.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so she's back in Indola now, and she got back there, let's see, it must have been Saturday during the morning.
Yes.
And, of course, we immediately went into high gear in
yes.
order to try to get her, because we still really want her to be here, and it seems very possible that we can get her here. So to get her a new passport, a new visa. So it's just been a flurry of activity on both sides of the ocean trying to make all that happen. So we've got people here we know somebody who knows a contact in the Zambian embassy here who might try to facilitate it. We have a contact with the U.S. embassy in Zambia, in Lusaka, Zambia, that they might be able to help with a visa. So lots and lots on our side. And then meanwhile, Teresa with lots of support from the community, and particularly from this young man named Godfrey, who's our sort of our IT specialist,
yes,
are running around over there trying to make something happen.
Wow. Wow. It's amazing. So that's the content. And as we talk about in practice, tell me about the process.
Well, that is, I'm glad you asked that, actually, because I was just looking at it before the call. I'll say how I see it from my point of view, which is the only point of view I can see it from, which is that what I appreciate about it is, see, how to say it? Well, on one level, it has happened, as far as I can tell, with no conditioning around it. You know, a lot of times something like this, you know, it would be called, you know, some kind of a mistake or something like that. People would be blamed. There would be, you know, all kinds of unpleasantness like that going on.
Yeah.
And there's been none of that, and it's been really kind of fascinating. I mean, I've been involved actually in a fairly kind of on the ground sort of level. I actually talked to both Teresa and Godfrey the other night on the phone to relieve Jen a little bit, who's completely exhausted and trying to, you know, get some rest.
Yes.
And so in communication with them, and just the whole sense I get from everything that's happened is we're just doing practice with this.
Yeah.
It's interesting also because we sent out that email the other day announcing this to people, and we've gotten some very inspiring responses back along those lines. It's like, you know, just keep on plugging away. This is just another practice opportunity, stuff like that, which has been very much my experience.
Yes. Yes. What I was thinking is thank goodness for practice.
Yeah.
Because as you're saying, the reaction could really take a turn that would be really unpleasant for everybody.
It completely could. I was talking to Jen, actually, with you today or yesterday. It's been several conversations, but we were both expressing our gratitude for the training that we've received.
Yes.
Because that's what the training is all about, is staying out of conditioned mind. And we also have an immense amount of training in being flexible, responding to the moment, and just doing what is the next thing to be done.
Yes.
So in a really kind of an interesting way, this is just like that. It's like, okay, well, Teresa doesn't have a passport, so what's the next thing to be done? And we just keep on plugging away at this in the same way we plug away with everything in our lives without a need for it to go any particular way, but just being willing for life to lead us through this as it leads us through everything else. And another thing we're talking about is, somehow this is the best for all, just because that's always the way it is. It seems like everything always turns out in a way that's the best for all.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what that is yet. And we have no idea how this is going to turn out. But just that trust, it takes all of the pressure off to go into conditioned mind and make meaning about it and struggle with it or try to get urgent about it or try to push through things that don't want to be pushed through and all that stuff that really doesn't work, but we try so hard to do and we don't have another alternative.
Yes, yes, yes. Quite amazing. What I project onto it is that basically without, I'm not sure I can articulate this, but that when we respond from that place, from a more centered place and not from conditioning, we're really much more likely to succeed in what it is that we're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very true. Absolutely. Yeah, because we're not distracted.
Yes. So we take out, you know, several days worth of blame and finger pointing and who did what wrong. And as you said, okay, Teresa doesn't have a passport. So what's the next step in getting her passport?
Yeah. And then just the focus that comes from being able to let go of the conditioned mind is amazing. And like you say, it's really productive. That's the way to make things happen.
Yes, yes. And the other thing that's coming up as you talk is we talk about the illusion of control. And it just seems really obvious in this example, the illusion that it is.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, you started off our little conversation here talking about how exciting it was. And in a funny way, that's really, really true. And that's been my experience since the beginning of this thing happened. It's like, whoa, this is a high-energy event.
Yeah.
This is going to call for a lot of, you know, energy and presence and all of that. And it is exciting, even though, you know, of course, it's not the way we would have wanted it to go at all. And I wouldn't want to kind of try to bypass that. But, I mean, that's, you know, if we could have our choice, Teresa would absolutely be here and we'd be doing everything the way we have planned. But, you know, we're just little bitty people in the middle of this immense world and this immense universe. And, you know, we don't really know what's the best for all. And so it's nice to kind of have that attitude of mind, you know, as we go through and just sort of relax into it and figure, you know, it will be whatever it will be. And we don't need to suffer over it.
Yes, yes. And what an amazing response,
mm-hmm.
compared to the way it seems most of the world operates. And
go ahead.
I was just going to say one more thing. And as you said, it's exciting. It's an international diplomatic adventure. You know, you got diplomats, you got two continents, you got airplanes and plans that changed and all of it. It's really exciting.
Oh, that is so true. I mean, especially like, you know, being here at the monastery, kind of on the inside track, it's like, you know, so like Godfrey and Teresa, you know, I talked to them, let's see, it was Sunday night really late. So it was first thing in the morning, Monday morning. They had this whole plan, and then they get out into the town, and of course they're running into Africa and, you know, a bureaucracy that makes, you know, I mean, we can complain about the DMV and different kind of things here, but,
right.
You know, it's like DMV times 10,000 at least.
Yes.
And just to get to try to get something done there is very, very, very difficult. So they're running into that. And so, you know, Jen's on the phone with them every hour or so, probably tracking their progress. You know, we had this whole plan that they were going to, you know, they have these papers assigned and these bureaucrats that have to sign off on this and on that, and they're going to get on a bus to Lusaka at noon, and then, but they're right now they're still in Indola trying to sort all this stuff out. And, you know, the latest thing that happened was Teresa made a little error. They were going to try to take all this stuff to Lusaka. Lusaka is the capital.
Yeah.
And that's where all the kind of the major government buildings are. The government buildings have representative offices in Indola, which is the second largest city, but the word we get is, if you want to make anything happen, you got to go to Lusaka. So they got all the stuff ready, and this little accident happened where the passport papers accidentally got filed in Indola instead of going to Lusaka. And so that's kind of the thing they're working on all day yesterday, is to sort out, okay, what do we do now that we filed the papers in the wrong place?
Oh, wow.
So it's just like on and on and on and on like that. So it's a big adventure. We truly don't know what will happen, but it's getting all of our focus and attention. And then, you know, at some point it will resolve itself. And we're still really, really hoping it will resolve itself by having Teresa on an airplane, you know, maybe in a few days. But we don't actually really know.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. What they're saying right now is that they're going to stick it out in Indola. They need to complete the process in Indola now. And it sounds, you know, it's really hard to know, but it sounds like the chances are pretty good she could have a passport in her hand on Friday.
Oh, wow.
So if so, we're back in business. And if not, then we'll look to the moment to see what to do then.
Look to the moment to see what to do then. Always a great strategy.
It really is. Yeah. It takes us back. Oh, we're a little over our time.
Well, Go ahead.
I'll say one more thing. It takes us back to, just gratitude for the training, you know, because it would be really easy to be in another place with it. But, it's always been my experience that if we'll let it, the moment will guide us in exactly the direction we need to go. And just to have that kind of reassurance in somebody's in your back pocket, it really makes life a lot easier, you know?
It does make life a lot easier. Dave, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, take
Good
care.
Night. Thank you. Good evening and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Melinda.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's a very exciting adventure, as you say, that we're in the middle of, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is.
Yeah, I was seeing today how it's so much like actually being in the middle of a mystery, and we don't know how it's going to come out, but it's just there's so much suspense, there's so much focus going into it, and it's going to be really interesting to see how it turns out.
Oh, it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
Yes. My eyes will be glued to the blog to track every step.
Yes. Yeah. And it's really amazing what I just saw as you were saying that is, you know, had this happened 10 years ago, we'd be completely clueless.
Yes.
But as it is, we can be in moment-by-moment contact with Teresa and Godfrey and Jen, who's, you know, 3,000 miles from the monastery, and the monastery and you. I have no idea where you are, Michael, but it's fascinating. It's just really quite amazing.
It is quite amazing. And as you said that, I really get a sense of community and Sangha and people really making their best efforts to accomplish this, as I was talking about with Dave, you know, without conditioning leading the way.
Yeah, yeah. As I think you started out saying, no blame. There's, you know, in a sense, there's absolutely nothing wrong. It's just this is what life is presenting in this moment, and how should we work with this little piece?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yes. Yep.
Melinda, we have many callers here.
Very fine. Why don't we have some conversations?
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, Melinda. This is Janice from Dallas.
Hi, Janice.
how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are things in Dallas, Big D?
They're quite nice. It's cooled off here now, so it's,
oh,
you know,
lucky you.
Yeah, it's kind of nice here. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Well, I was calling. What I was looking at was that someone I was consulting with, someone very wise, and they pointed to something that seems clear to me, and it's basically that what I'm looking at is, and what I, you know, to talk about is that I don't trust myself.
Ah. Uh huh.
Which I suppose is conditioning, not trusting conditioning.
Yeah, it's really interesting just to look at the language, isn't it? I don't trust myself.
Yeah, and if I use the word Janice, my name, I seem disconnected from Janice, but I don't trust Janice.
Uh huh. You are the one who does not trust that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh huh. Uh huh. So what have you been seeing about that?
Well, clearly it's a process, and that not trusting myself, not trusting is probably the process, and I don't know, myself is the content.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to look at it and, you know, get familiar with it. And ultimately it does seem like, well, that there's a lot that goes on with it as far as the process. There's a huge amount of distraction, which the outcome seems to be to have me not move forward. For example, for me to do anything, I have to have, you know, every certification imaginable, you know, before I can do something.
Uh-huh. So that...
It feels like I can only do that because I don't trust myself. I have to have, you know, a PhD in anything that I'm interested in before I can go, I don't know, you know, do a career in it or help or teach or.
Uh-huh. So there's a certain level of education that's required for you to move forward with something it sounds like you start out being really interested in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That would be kind of it, yes, and it just ends up in, with me, you know, just stuck and not ultimately going forward is
yeah.
the result.
So wanting to do something and ultimately not being allowed to do it because you're not certified enough.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough. I'm not knowledgeable enough.
Not knowledgeable enough. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It's really interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So what else are you seeing about it?
That if I look to see who would be suffering the most over it, it seems to be a small child that is concerned about not surviving and dying. And then the conditioning part of it is more along the lines of, and that part of me is afraid of, like, mean conditioning, being like, you should have known better.
Being afraid of somebody coming in and saying you should have known better.
Yeah.
Which we can guess is what happened to her a lot when she was truly a little person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she does something, doesn't have all the information, probably because she's a little person, and then gets told she should have known better.
Yeah.
So what goes on now is sort of a lifelong trying to know better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Trying to know enough, yeah.
Hmm?
Yes, trying to know enough.
Trying to know enough, yeah.
Enough to know better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then the person who starts out really wanting to do something, it sounds like, never gets to do it because she never learns enough to be qualified. And that's got to be in quotations, huh?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so...
I'm pretty identified with that, though. Or I'm pretty stuck in it.
Like you believe it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you know, I can talk about it, but
well,
I seem to believe it.
Uh-huh. What would be the worst that would happen if you... just went ahead and did whatever the current something is that you really would like to do, but you're not, you haven't learned enough yet?
Yeah, the worst possible thing would be that I would lose money. Well, I would lose money and I would be wrong.
And those, for part of you, would be almost like non-survival.
Yes. Definitely.
And what would be the best thing that might happen if you just went on and did whatever it is?
It would be fun, and I would enjoy it and hopefully be good at it.
It's interesting because things just flash through for me as a little postcard I used to keep on my refrigerator that has this guy standing on a cliff getting ready to dive in this great long dive. And the thing on the card is, if you don't do it, you'll never know what would have happened if you had done it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So how can you mentor this person who has something she wants to do but kind of gets stopped at the almost at the starting gate, it sounds like, because she has to detour to get a PhD?
That seems very hard for me, but it'd be along the lines of... Yeah, protecting her from the conditioning, you know, kind of beating and saying, you know, we'll do it together. We'll go for it. We'll do it.
Together. And how is that?
That's good. What keeps coming up is, but it's not that easy.
So you another know, little voice off the background. It's not that easy.
Yeah.
And how does
not that,
that
easy? We've got to do this, and we've got to do that. We've got to do this and that. You know, like 100 things.
And you're believing that?
Halfway, yeah.
I
mean, it's helping talk about it, but if I have to be honest, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. And so that's all of that. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do this. Are those all part of the we have to be prepared enough before we start?
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah. And what if you knew you'd be okay no matter what?
Well, that'd really be nice.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, because obviously on some... level, I believe that, but not this level.
Right.
Like on a mental level. I know that's true, like in my head, but...
Right. And Janice, is there a way you could take one small step at a time and see what happens?
Yes, I could definitely do that. I could take a little step and I could kind of journal each step.
Watch out for the voices that are going to come in and want to detour you.
And then whatever happens, you know, either way, just write down what happens, what voices come up.
Yeah, and to keep on sort of being the protector of the little one who gets in there and thinks she's doing something wrong or thinks there's something to be afraid of or whatever all goes on for her. You know, I was just seeing that piece of it can be so rewarding to be with, to be the one who is being, having somebody with them, and to be the person who is being with the little one. Just to have the experience of that regardless of the content.
Yeah, no, I've experienced doing that.
Yeah.
This particular area just seems more like I've never delved into the I'm concerned about my survival. Like, this part of me is that fearful. I've never really dealt with that before.
The part who's really, really afraid that she'll lose money and that'll be the end of it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Or she'll be wrong and that'll be the end of it all.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
She might
just discover that that's not true.
Yeah.
In that one step at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Sort of learning, and again, I was just saying this, learning or understanding that you are probably even more trustworthy than those, all those volumes of knowledge, the encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I probably have just shoved this particular area aside because it's just, you know, so fearful for me.
Whatever the thing is that you're wanting to do but getting told you don't know enough yet.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a great practice place in terms of going ahead and taking some steps in that direction and seeing, well, is it really true? I'm still alive now and still got a little bit of money in the bank and still...
Nothing horrible happened, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it all to the test.
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for calling in and keep us posted, huh?
Okay. I will. Thank you.
Great.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we have the privilege of being joined by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Melinda, we're going to have a sponsor break, and then we'll be back.
Okay.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Rebecca from Austin.
Hi, Rebecca. We got,
hi.
You got a nice Texas contingent tonight, huh?
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Hey.
And what Janice didn't say is that by it being cooler, she means it's only in the mid-90s now.
Yeah, real cold snap, huh?
Yeah, we had a real cold snap. So, but it's really great to have gotten on the call. And I wanted to say something about the whole Teresa situation and what the good news when Dave was talking. What just came up for me was this appreciation, certainly for the practice, but a little more specifically, what I'm seeing is that because of all the structure building that's been done over the last several years, you know, 5-6 years with all of the best year yet, all of the structure that's been put in place,
mm-hmm.
so many more people are getting to see all of us practice together. Do you know, it's like this whole scenario is being played out in public, really, so that we can all see and participate and benefit, it strikes me, from this because of all that work that has been done in years past.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah. That what I'm, if I'm understanding you, that the wider community is kind of being able to participate and to see how practice can lead to being okay no matter what.
Yeah, but and the reason that the wider community can see it is because there's a transparency and a public sort of presence that the practice has developed over the last decade, I would guess, than it has before. You know, so all of the same high level wonderful practice could have been going on, you know, and has definitely been going on, but it wasn't as much like a light on a hill as it is right now.
Is what Michael and I were talking about a little bit, is that the huge burst in communication that's now available with things like this radio show the internet and all of the ways that we have of communicating really make it possible for so many more people to be involved.
Yeah, and the way that this practice has embraced all that technology.
Yes. Yep.
I just think this is the coolest thing, and it just you know, I find myself just wanting to express all the support and best wishes for certainly Teresa and for Jen and all Jen's been going through, you know. And I just, you know, am encouraged by this practice to follow those projections back, you know, and certainly wanting to offer it to, quote, them, but also get the blessing and the opportunity to receive it myself. So it's just very, very fun.
That nobody's going to get all twisted up in knots and feel like there is something terribly gone wrong and what can we do and the sky is falling, and just instead, okay, what's the next step? And step after that, and okay, we'll just we'll be there for it whenever the next one arrives.
Yeah. So that's certainly a big piece and of what I wanted to express tonight after the Good News Update. But I also have another little something to share.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Sure.
And that is, you know, I've been working with this part of me that goes into kind of some really dark places around death and just feeling very, very hopeless and all of that. And the other day, I was watching this whole cycle happen, and I noticed that there was a conversation about how about money that preceded the kind of the depression and the feeling hopeless.
So all this was going on inside, and you were watching as the conversation started. It starts leading you into depression and hopelessness, and this time it was about money.
Yeah, And so the slippery slope was around how I'm gonna lose my job and lose all, you know how that those stories can go, and eventually I would be penniless. And the thought came through really, really quickly. You know, why don't we just sell everything now and get rid of it all now and give our money all away now, and that way we don't have to worry about this, you know, horrible decline that I'm going to have and my life's going to be ruined.
Yeah, let's just jump. It's back to when you're falling, dive.
Yes. Well, and it immediately reminded me of that scripture passage of that, you know, Jesus was telling them, sell everything you have, get all your money to the poor, and that's what you got to do. And, you know,
and then there's nothing to worry about.
Right, because then you're really free. But, you know, in my whole life, I've been, you know, I've kind of been immersed in this Christianity stuff my whole life. And in my whole life, I have never once actually wanted to do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
it's never had a great appeal for you.
Okay. Say it again?
It's never had a great appeal for you.
That's right, to say the least. And in that moment, that flash, it actually... Well, what happened was the little one who's underneath all of this darkness,
mm-hmm.
I think she got a little glimpse of being saved for just a moment, you know, because it closed up pretty quickly, and I have not sold the thing or given all my possessions to the poor, but she got a little flash of possibility of being saved in that moment.
Yes.
Do you know?
That sounds like it was a big moment. It was brief, but it was really a big opening for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's
it really
somebody.
Does. I would project it really takes the sting out of conditioning's threat that you'll be penniless.
Yep. Because there's somebody in me that's perfectly willing to be penniless.
Yeah.
Really, really is not afraid of that at all.
Yes, and it sounds like that little one underneath who thinks that could be a good deal because, hey, we wouldn't have to worry about any of that stuff. No
yeah.
more insurance.
Yeah. And it just would be, and it would certainly, I mean, of course, what that little one really wants is it would take all this, as you said, all the sting out of conditioning. And so I didn't even, you know, this happened a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was only when I was thinking about calling the radio program today that that memory came back, that little
uh-huh.
insight came back.
Uh-huh. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sure is.
Yeah. It's such a nice advertisement for calling into the radio show just to as a reminder. Because I'm hearing and what you're saying is, it reminded you of a free moment that you had
yeah.
as this conditioned cycle tried to pull you into it.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in reminding me, it just really made it real all over again. And so it's just very cool.
Yes.
So
very cool indeed. Reminders are just the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm so grateful to get to say that and kind of put it out there and make it public so it can be real for me again when I listen to the archives again
oh,
and again.
Good. Very good. Yeah, and do the old, you know, twist ties around your finger deal.
Yep.
Yep.
All the reminders.
Yes.
Well, thank you, and y'all have a great evening, and thanks, Michael. We'll all be watching the blog and pulling for everything to work out beautifully.
You bet. Thank you, Rebecca, and enjoy the cool weather.
Yeah, we will. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Rebecca. Thank you for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we have the pleasure of being joined by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Melinda, I was struck with what Rebecca said when she started out in terms of the public response that
yes.
practice is making to the situation.
Yes.
And I'm reminded of public relations strategies that I've heard about. When a company has, say, some bad news or something doesn't go right, and as I understand it, the encouragement is always to be honest, be upfront, talk about it, continue to communicate. And I really see Living Compassion in the monastery really modeling that.
Yeah, yeah. Why would we not?
Yes.
You know, all of the people who are looking forward to Teresa's visit, who've been involved for months in planning it, who, you know, why would it not be shared among all the people who are either directly involved or peripherally involved? Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I really get the sense that the way this radio show and the way facilitated group discussions work, the privilege of hearing all about that in such an honest and direct way that I really feel like I get an insight into who people are and how they respond to that.
Yeah. You know, Michael, I just saw something as you were saying that, and I don't know if I'll be able to quite articulate it, but it has to do with when we are with someone who is being completely authentic, we can relax and feel we can actually begin to experience our own authenticity more readily.
Yes, yes.
Kind of we know it when we see it.
Exactly.
And it feels like that's a lot of what you and Rebecca are pointing at.
Exactly, Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Themes that we talk a lot about in practice of modeling what it is that we're going for. And
yeah, and nothing to hide.
Yes.
It's not. There's no manipulating, plotting, scheming going on behind the scenes.
Yes. And as you say, when I see that authenticity and the power of that authenticity, it really gives me the encouragement and strength to go there myself.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And it's such an extraordinarily wonderful place to live.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Indeed. Melinda, we have another caller here.
All right. Let's talk.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello. My name's Colette. I'm ringing you from England. It's a great privilege to be able to connect with the Sangha at this time of night.
Did you say Colette?
Yes.
Well, thank you for calling in. That's just very fine to have the willingness to be up. So I guess it's very early in the morning your time.
It is. It's 1:30 in the morning.
Yes.
And I'm aware that there's somebody else in the house that I wasn't expecting to be hearing this, sort of. They might be overhearing the conversation, so I'm feeling a bit more nervous than I thought I was going to be.
Uh-huh. Did you say there's somebody else with you who might be overhearing the conversation?
Yes, I'm at a friend's house, and somebody's just come, sort of walked through the room, and I was kind of hoping to have this conversation in private because I'm feeling really nervous.
Yes. So perhaps
yeah.
Some internal comforting words for the nervousness.
Yes.
And
yes.
And some great acknowledgement of the courage.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be nervous and to be calling anyway.
Yeah.
So how are things going in the UK for you?
Well, I'm ringing you because I've become extremely aware of the fact that I'm in a situation at the moment that I'll just briefly explain because I don't want to get too much into the content. But
okay.
I've had a builder's been doing some work on my house, and I've recently discovered that he hasn't done everything in the contract, and it's quite serious the things that he hasn't done. And over the past 10 years, I've repeatedly been in this situation with builders in that, you know, they're not doing the work properly. And it's like I keep going round in a circle with it. And so that's the content. Now the voices are kind of saying, you know, I've tried to seek advice and I've been given some advice, and then the voices are going, yes, but.
Uh-huh.
And there's always a reason why I can't follow the advice.
Uh-huh.
And I'm beginning to feel paralyzed, you know. And it's not just with the building situation. It's with many aspects in my life. I just keep going round in these circles.
Yes, yes.
And at the bottom of it,
sorry.
At the bottom of it is there's a few things that have come up. That part of it is a lot to do with my childhood. Part of it is like that. Violence I've experienced in my life.
Mm.
I've been held at my point, and so I've done a lot of reflection, and a lot of really difficult stuff is coming up for me at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to do with my past, I'm finding it really hard to move forward and get out of this cycle.
Yes.
I don't know if that's clear. I'm just feeling sort of like nervous about being on the air, and you know, there's a lot of emotional stuff going on for me at the moment.
Yes, I hear that, and it sounds it, it, it it feels like you're being quite clear and that you're really being able to describe the process. I don't know if you've listened to the show a fair bit to have a sense of a lot of what we talk about is conditioning and the process that conditioning uses to keep us in suffering. And it seems to always be a cycle, and we find ourselves, just as you're describing, again and again and again, winding up in the same very unhappy situation and not having much of a clue how we got there.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is.
Yeah, and it sounds, too, as though you're making connections between how you are or the process that you go through in situations such as with builders and your childhood and situations that happened for you in your childhood. And we do tend to conditioning just by its nature is something that we bring into our adulthood from our childhood. And the very best thing to begin to do with it is what you're doing, which is to begin to see how it works. Begin to catch on, I keep doing the same thing. I keep winding up in the same place. How is that happening? And Colette, what do you find when you get into these stuck places, what do you find assists you?
I don't seem to be finding anything that assists me at the moment. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. How about in the past?
I don't think I felt as stuck in the past. Before I started to have this conversation, I became aware of I've been in a lot of very difficult situations, and it's like as time has gone on, it's compounded stuff from the past. So at the moment, I'm feeling really stuck, and I can't seem to find a way of relating to how I was able to move forward in the past.
Uh-huh. But you know you have been.
I have been, yeah.
Yeah. It's just that right now you're feeling so stuck that it's almost as though there's a blinders over how you did it in the past that might be applied to now.
Yeah. And also I have sort of intense, a lot of fear and anxiety.
A lot of fear and anxiety?
Yeah.
And do things arise that you have found to be helpful to the parts of you that get really afraid?
Well, I mean, obviously sitting, mindfulness meditation, that helps. It helps me get a bit of distance between the fear I'm experiencing and, you know, I kind of can look at it, but it's not actually helping me make decisions and move forward in my life.
Yes, but it really helps. It sounds like you can see that it helps with the fear and anxiety. It's just not helping you get unstuck. Yeah. And could you consider just for a moment what it might be like to kind of feel that being stuck is exactly the right place to be right now?
That's, you know, that's like a breath of fresh air because I've been beating myself up for being stuck.
Yes, and I just want to suggest that it's not you beating yourself up, it's your conditioning, or as we might say, it's self-hate, because what's the deal? There you are, stuck, and really in a lot of discomfort being stuck, and then along comes this voice that starts beating you up because you're stuck. This is not an ally. Instead of, maybe stuck is just the perfect place to be right now.
Yeah, I could just feel all these voices saying, you know, that's not so, and it's a conditioning, like you say. Yeah.
That sooner or later something will pop up out of the stuckness that will give you a direction to move. Which can happen, for me, can really happen most easily if I just say, okay, I'm stuck. I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere. It's just where I am right now.
Yes, going back to the builders, I have to make a decision about how I approach them, and I have to do it quite quickly. And I can hear my conditioning saying, well, that's all very well, you know, it's perfect to be stuck, but I need to be unstuck very quickly to sort this situation out.
Yeah, so it's going to move right directly back into you're the wrong person because you're stuck.
Yeah.
Well, there is a Zen method for dealing with. And do you have just two? Are you being presented with just two alternatives of things to do with the builders?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the, I mean, I've taken professional advice, and I've been advised to go straight to my insurance broker and get them to sort it out. But part of me feels that I should be speaking to the builder and giving them a chance to explain why he hasn't done the work. But then people and sort of like be compassionate, you know, and understand where he's coming from. But then, you know, sort of friends are saying, well, that's all very well, but if he had been going to do the work, he would have done it because he hasn't done all electrical. He hasn't done any of the rewired the house because I was flooded, and he hasn't rewired the house, and he's plastered and he's put the floors down, and it's obvious that he wasn't going to do it, and yet he was contracted to do it.
And so you get one piece of advice that says go to your insurance company and turn it over to them. It sounds like
and
I'm going to put this in quotations: be compassionate and talk to him and find out where he's coming from.
This is my take on it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just that one approach that Sherry sometimes suggests is to flip a coin.
Sorry, flip a coin.
Yes.
Right.
And then see how you are with the way the coin toss comes out.
Do you know, I have actually tried this because of all my indecisiveness and feeling stuckness, and I do this, and I flip the coin, and I feel one way, and then I'll feel another. It's like I'm always, you know, I can kind of see both sides and still not know which way to go.
Yeah. So it's like it circles around and comes right back in to put you back in stuck.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a hard one. And what do you imagine it might be like, Colette, to just go ahead and flip the coin, but before you flip the coin, to make a commitment to yourself that you will take yourself by the hand and walk into whichever, whether it's heads or tails, and just see what happens. Not that any of it's going to be right or wrong, but just to see what happens. Because it sounds like conditioning wants you to make a clear-cut decision that's the right decision.
Yeah.
In a circumstance that is so, so it doesn't have a right answer.
Hmm. Yeah.
So to outfox conditioning by taking an approach that kind of takes you out of its clutches.
Yes, yeah. If I'll allow it to.
Pardon me?
I said if I will allow it to. I'm just really conscious of wanting to be in control now, you know.
Ah, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, and this is, I just have to throw in a commercial comment about our There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, which you may have heard us talk about.
I have, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That it is, we start in a place that looks at how we get stuck and how conditioning does that to us. So if you're ever in a position where you could sign up for one of our There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats, it would be could be a great treat for yourself.
Yes, yeah. Well, thank you very much for, you know, for listening to me and, yeah, for really listening to me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome, Colette. And just to remember to acknowledge how courageous you are and how much you are seeing about how conditioning works in your life. It's really one of the biggest steps in the direction of getting free from it all.
Mm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Call back again, okay?
Yes, thank you, Melinda. Thank
Great.
You.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Colette. You're listening to Open Air. Melinda, courageous is the word that kept coming up for me as well.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Yeah. Yeah, conditioning moves us into such hard places, and it really is so so beginning to put cracks in the walls it builds around us to begin to talk about it and talk about how it's doing what it does to us.
Yes, yes. I'm continually amazed by the people who call in and have that courage and willingness to look at what's going on, and I project at some level see the possibility that there's something else possible.
Yes, yeah, I'm right there with you, and I doubt if they'd be calling in if they didn't see that possibility.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Linda, we're going to take a sponsor break here, and then
okay.
We'll be right back.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Melinda, we have about 10 minutes and one more caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? Not hearing anybody.
Department of Lost Callers.
Yes, yes, yes. Let me give out the phone number here.
Okay.
Toll free in North America. The phone lines are wide open. That's 888-4-SANGHA. And those numbers are 888-472-6442. That will get you into the TalkShoe system. And then you want to punch 15406#. And that will get you into open air. Melinda, it'll be fun to see how this experience with Teresa unfolds over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I was thinking when you and Dave were talking about it earlier that by probably, well, I don't know. I was going to say probably by the time we have open air next Tuesday, we'll have some idea.
Yeah.
You know, it would be absolutely magnificent if she were here and might even be able to talk a little bit on the show.
Yes.
But, yeah, we will see. We will see. I know that everything that can be done is being done, and we'll just have to see what the universe provides.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And we have another caller.
All right. Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hi, Anna in Cambridge.
Hi. Wow, this is great. I was listening and I was I saw the opportunity to call, so I just called.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. I think one of the things I've been feeling is a lot of gratitude for the practice.
Yeah.
There's been like a one piece of content in particular there's been a lot of fear coming up around it. And it's almost like I can see the sabotage happening, like wanting to happen, like the where I'm getting pulled to. And in this practice of like restraint has been I don't know, it just feels like I'm just like the thing that keeps coming up for me is like anything inside the bag of skin, you know, keep it inside this bag of skin until something comes up that I actually want to bring out into the world.
Yeah, so the fear is going on and you're practicing with it and practicing restraint, it sounds like. So not, I'm projecting what you're saying is you're not acting on things that the fear would encourage you to act on. Is that kind of what's going on?
Yeah. There's like a way of being that the fear wants to drive me to sort of make me feel safe.
Uh-huh.
Or make some part of me, it's almost like it's not like it's, there's a sense that I know that it's not going to make me feel safe.
Yeah.
But the information that I'm getting is that it would make me feel safe.
Yeah, it will provide you with the illusion of safety.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It will provide me with the illusion of safety.
But you're not acting on that. Instead, you are just staying, it sounds like, staying with the process of watching what's going on inside rather than, jumping for the bulletproof vest or whatever it wants you to do.
Yeah, yeah. Right, and it's been, it's been quite a, I don't know that it's been a challenge, but it's taken a lot of, certainly taken a lot of willingness.
Yeah. And this is a little bit of a leading question, but what is it like for you as you do that? What is your experience of having the willingness to practice restraint in that way?
It's almost like, I think the thing that's allowing it to happen is like a sense that that I've been through the process before and I know what will happen if I do it the other way. I can see the train wreck happening if I go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how that, it's almost like I know how that happens, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah. So we sometimes talk in practice about how we'll go along and fall in the hole and go along and fall in the hole and go along. It just has to happen over and over and over again. And then sooner or later we go along and we, there's a hole right up there. Maybe I'll go around it.
Right.
And it sounds like that's kind of like the place that you're in with this particular piece of content.
Right. But what it still feels like extremely intense. Like it still feels like there's a, like for me there's a lot of anxiety. It like takes over my whole body, and it there's certainly like a feeling like the physical sensations are saying like this is not going well, but but there's like a deeper sense that that it's going differently.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So conditioning comes in, it sounds like, and says this is not going well.
Mm-hmm.
It's something about having what's getting labeled anxiety. Also,
mm-hmm.
then comes along with the information that that's not okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other thing that's kind of happening, the thing that's coming up for me right now is it's like if you rallying back and forth with like a tennis ball and you're like, oh my gosh, I got to 10, and you've never gotten to 10 before. And then you're like, and then what happens is like this, well, what about 11, 12, 13? It's like, it's never, for me, like conditioning comes in and is like, well, don't mess it up now. You know, we're gotten this far before. So it's, I don't know. It's good to see that that's kind of what's going on. That's also happening.
Does it feel like it's kind of raising the bar as you meet the level that is new for you?
Mm-hmm.
It goes ahead and raises the bar to another notch and tells you that's
mm-hmm.
where you should be.
Yeah, yeah, and it's almost like it's saying where I am is where I should be in like a real kind of should way, like this is the right way
uh-huh.
or something.
Uh huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like just means I'm a good person.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that you have done something that makes you a right person rather than you're in the place right now that you're in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I can see how everything that's happened up till this moment has really prepared me for it. And it's been labeled wrong by conditioning many times.
Yeah, that's really a huge awareness, isn't it? That everything that's gone before is what prepared me for where I am right in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that information is coming through on a regular basis, which I'm extremely grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I keep getting told that I'm not practicing, which is just fundamentally false, and B that I'm not practicing enough, and C that it's really not working, and while that whole conversation is going on, I am practicing and things are really different.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be seeing it if you weren't practicing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a nice sort of catch conditioning in a projection when it tells you that you're not practicing.
Yeah. Another thing I've been looking at is I was reading the key, and I was just looking at the key, and on one of the there was like this picture of like the good you, and then the bad you,
uh-huh.
and then like what would it look like if you put the two together or something?
Uh huh.
You know, like it was like draw the good you and draw the bad you and then like draw the you with, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, no distinctions.
Yeah, and that something really kind of shifted when I saw that, and I really sort of like considered that is actually what's going on.
Yeah.
This like good me and this bad me and it's either or.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of there's just me,
mm-hmm.
and I have all these facets, and actually without conditioning, nobody would need to come up with good or bad.
Yeah, and one of the stories that's coming up that I see is a projection is that is that, you know, anyone that I'm in relation with wouldn't accept one part or the other part. You know, like if it was the bad me, then they wouldn't want the good me because that's not like a fun me. But the good, if they were in relation with the good me, they wouldn't want the bad me because that's like, you know, the bad me.
And are you, did you start out by saying you can see the projection in that?
Yeah.
That the part of you who's so-called bad probably doesn't like the so-called good?
Yeah. And there's a sense that, I think there's like a story that, that really, like I am not, like I'm really not acceptable. Just like the whole package.
Wow. So
yeah.
So there is information that comes in at some points that you, this whole Anna package, is not acceptable.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
And how do you work with that?
I think what's going on right now is that there's like, well, are you sure? You know, maybe that's not so.
So there's a questioning. When you hear that come in, you raise some questions about it.
Yeah, because I can see this. What happens is I meet someone and I try to like, be who I think they want me to be.
Mm.
You know, because like if I really like them,
mm-hmm.
I'm like a friend or a relationship or whatever, like I try to be who I think that they want me to be.
Uh-huh.
And there's a sense that, I don't know, now what's coming in is like, well, how do you know? You know, and obviously
yes.
There's
what a good
probably question. You're probably not that good at hiding yourself, yeah. You know, because I'm really not.
Well,
that
and who
good.
Needs to be hidden?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like the thing that the way the questioning is way I'm getting traction with it is like they probably sense who you are anyway and they like you.
Uh-huh.
You know, so why, you know, and also it's like, well, isn't it, I don't know, there's just a sense that it's like, I mean, even if they didn't like who I was, it's like it's just not really that fun for me. It's just not that great of a life experience to be,
yeah,
to be pretending.
Well, and what I'm hearing and what you're saying is that you, apart from the one who thinks she knows what other people want, you don't get to be expressed.
Yeah, right. And the way that manifests is like through it, just like it's like bottle, 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 and then explodes. So it's like, why go through that? Because that's certainly not charming, you know?
Yeah. Well, and what's so bad about who you are?
Yeah.
What needs to be hidden about who you are?
Yeah, nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it might be one of those places where, you know, let her out occasionally.
Right, which is what's happening, which is the way... what's going on in my life right now.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's different, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just a much better life experience.
Yeah. It's a real one.
Yeah.
That sounds, I just projected a huge relief. We're not having to hold up, you know, we talk about the cardboard Henry or the cardboard Henrietta, not having to hold up a false picture of ourselves and not let the person who's behind that picture be seen. But it sounds like you're stepping out and allowing yourself to be seen more.
Yeah, and it seems like one of the ways that happened was like accepting like that, like, I was just having, you know, a really hard time.
Mm, yeah.
And it was just like it just wasn't possible for
mm-hmm.
things to be held together.
Yeah, which is kind of something to be grateful for, isn't it?
Yeah.
So exciting times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in practice times.
Yeah, and we have Sherry and Jen and hopefully maybe or maybe not Teresa coming tomorrow. So it also feels like there's a, I don't know, it feels really like a, like Sangha is more present out here. I mean, partially because of my, you know, willingness to participate.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
And like allow it to be.
Sangha is here, including you.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in. I hope you have a fabulous time tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so thank you all for having the show and for, Yeah, I'm glad that I got a chance to call in. This is
great. Couldn't do it without the callers. Thanks, Anna.
Yeah. All right, thanks. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You've been listening to Open Air. Tonight we've had the great privilege of being joined by Melinda,
ooh,
monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Who just looked at a clock. Gracious.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had fun tonight.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Michael.
Yeah, you are very welcome. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. My pleasure.
Okay. Talk to you next time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.